friends, and welcome to Speaking with Joy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special Girls Club episode of Speaking with Joy. For the last several weeks, we have been going through interviews with women that I admire on the topic of friendship in support of my book Girls Club, which, by the way, you should go buy. And today, I have the great pleasure of having my best friend and college roommate with me. Welcome, Elena Treva.
Thank you for having me, Joy.
We have actually done one podcast together.
Yes.
And wasn't it on...
Friendship? It was on friendship, and that was so much fun.
We had so much fun doing that. So you can scroll back through many myriads of episodes ago on my podcast to look at that. But Elena, tell us a little about you and what you do in life, and yes.
Yes, so I am a graduate student at Harvard right now studying theology, and so I am back and forth between Los Angeles and Boston right now. So a big change in weather.
Those are huge, that's a huge travel distance.
It is.
It's a huge travel distance. And I am right now preparing Elena for the cold of Boston by having her in Colorado, which has been really fun and feels like a very fitting celebration for Girls Club coming out in a couple weeks to have you with me.
Oh, it's been so much fun. We've eaten so much good food. We've done so much fun things together. It's been just a delight.
It has been so much fun. I always feel like I almost forget how fun it is. Like, I look forward to it, and then I'm like, oh, this really is so fun and easy.
I know.
And, yeah, okay, we should, before we go into this, tell everybody how we met.
Yes, so we met when we were on our very first week of college, when we were undergrads.
It was the orientation weekend.
Yes, we met during the orientation week, and we just sort of never after.
We did. So we met at the mailboxes, but we had encountered each other before, and uncharacteristically, you had friended me. So in high school, we were both in speech and debate. I was only in speech and debate for, like, from January to June.
Mm-hmm. But I'd been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah, she'd been doing it for 6 years, and I will toot Elena's horn for her. She was, like, everybody knew her name because she just won everything.
Oh, stop.
But it's true. She was great. But we were, like, on the same stage as...
We were standing next to each other. You literally turned to me, or we turned to each other and made some sort of small talk remark about, I don't know, how late it was or how long the ceremony was taking.
I think also I was kind of like, wow, I'm, like, in finals. This is cool. Because it was, you know, my first year and I was, like, didn't know what was happening.
You did amazingly. You won so many things that year. You're just...
But I remember just, like, remarking to you. And then you friended me on Facebook.
Yes.
And then we were both going to go to the same college. And so we decided we were going to meet on the first day.
Yes.
And we met by the mailboxes.
Yes.
And then that night we all sat together at this kind of weird orientation dinner.
Yes.
And your dad and my dad, like, befriended this foreign exchange student. Anyway.
You know, our dads are.
Which is weird because they're really not very similar at all. Anyway.
No.
And we talked about Christopher Nolan and Andrew Gables. And after that, we were friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll tell more of that later.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
But so that's quite a few years ago now. Mm-hmm. And now we're grown-ups and we're still friends. And we haven't lived in the same place for,
gosh, four years. That's now. We've been best friends for, what, 7 years now?
Yeah.
Just about. And over half of that time has been when we've been living on either, this is so
that's
sad,
true.
Different coasts or different countries.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow, that's wild.
Wow.
So Elena and I today are going to be doing an advice podcast. Mm-hmm. This is something we've dreamed about because we're both very opinionated people. And, you know, no one's usually asks our advice.
But we've given a lot of unsolicited advice in our lifetime.
But we thought it would be so much fun. We've always kind of joked together that we would love being like a... What was the old-fashioned, like, dear...
Like Dear Abby or...
Dear Abby.
Dear... Why do I have Dear Ellen in my mind?
I don't know. Probably I just think that's right. A thing, but...
Anyway, we thought that for kind of a creative, fun episode of this, we would do an advice podcast. Mm-hmm. So for the last several weeks, for like the last week, I've had a Google Doc up and I posted it on Twitter and Facebook.
We've had so much fun watching these questions roll in. We've been talking about them and thinking about them and just have been so excited to finally dive into them.
Yes. And this morning we went, well, a little bit yesterday, a little today, we went to a coffee shop. We got donuts and cappuccinos.
Oh, those donuts were so good.
We organized the questions into like groupings. Mm-hmm. And so we are very excited to chat through all these today. Yes. Shall we tell them about the kind of categories of questions that we have?
Yes. So you sent us such interesting, varied questions, but we decided to put them into some general categories. So we have first a category on our friendship, since we got a lot of questions about that and we love to talk about our friendship.
It's great.
It is great. Second, we had a lot of questions about relationships generally, whether that's parent-child or romantic relationships or just friendships generally. And then we had a third category that we still haven't named.
It's still blank on the paper.
It's generally about the process of becoming an adult.
Life choices.
Making majors, careers. Anyways, you can tell from the trouble we've had naming this that it's a complicated category filled with some difficult questions. So those will be very fun to tackle. Yes. And last, we have a very fun category of some lifestyle questions about TV shows and food and lipstick. And
I just have to say, I'm very pleased with how many people asked about lipstick.
Oh, so many people asked us about lipstick. I wasn't really expecting it, and I'm just charmed by it.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that one. Mm-hmm. So we would advise that, as we currently are, that you go and get a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually got, like, a dangerous amount of liquid resting on the
the
ledge with
I didn't
my computer.
That. I'm so sorry. I didn't have to spill anything.
No, it's fine. We've got 2 cups of tea, 2 cups of water, and a bottle of kombucha. So stay hydrated and tune in as we get ready to give you all of our unsolicited advice. Actually, this is solicited
this
advice.
This is solicited.
Everybody asked.
We asked you for it, and you gave it
it's
to us.
Everyone so. Solicited. We
That's
wanted you to ask us.
All
yeah,
around.
Yeah, anyway. So, we're ready.
We're ready.
Alina, shall we begin?
Yes, we shall.
So, the first category is our friendship.
Yes. So, the first question that we have here is a bit about our background, which is... What were our majors and
did
degrees
we have the same
in
majors?
Undergrad? Were they the same? Were they different? And what did we do on campus to bond together?
So, we didn't have the same major.
We did not. I don't think we ever had a single class together. Mm-hmm. I was a film major and you were communications.
Yes.
And so, the thing that we actually had the most together was that we were on the debate team together for mm-hmm. a few years and we were actually debate partners.
Yes.
Which meant we spent a lot of time traveling to tournaments almost every weekend mm-hmm. for 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, oh man.
My gosh.
So
and
that, much.
That was
it very,
was very
fun, but it was a lot of work.
Was it fun?
You know what? The traveling together and
that
being
was
friends was fun. And
yes.
the fact that we usually got our own hotel room because we were the only
that,
girls
we felt
sometimes
very,
on the
that
team.
Was a great thing. We that were the only, we were a girl-girl team. There were not a ton of girl-girl teams.
There were not a ton of girls.
And
yeah.
Except for our last year, we were mainly the only girls on the team.
Yeah.
So we kind of had a little elevated status, which was fun.
Yeah, it was very fun.
And we learned a lot for debate, but
it
was pretty exhausting.
It really was. But it was a good way for us to spend a ton of time together very early on. But I think really... The things that we did to bond together on campus weren't things where we would say, today we are bonding.
Yeah.
It would be more like, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you want to walk 2 miles in 95 degree weather speed to Albertsons? Which is a real bonding experience.
Because we had no car.
We did not have a car, and we lived in a little concrete jungle on the outskirts of Los Angeles. And it was very hot all the time, and it was perhaps not our native habitat,
I would say. Do you remember the time that I was like, I think we can get out through this cool...
Oh, when you made me hop a fence.
Yes. I genuinely thought there was, like, a gate to get out of this, like, kind of pretty way that you could walk to the street.
Through, like, a little park at the edge of campus.
And I just assumed there was a gate, but there wasn't.
There was not.
And, but we'd, like, gone so far that it would have taken 15 minutes to get back out, and I was like, let's just hop the gate.
It was very hot. It's a very tall iron gate with little, like, spikes at the top, and we swung ourselves over it, and I was wearing a skirt, and that was an adventure that...
And do you remember, there were, like, three...
something.
There were three people on the other side of the street just watching us and laughing,
oh,
which was
cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, I do remember that.
All this to say, we bonded a lot over, I feel like just inviting each other into the things we needed to do.
Yeah, whether like, it was, let's go study at a coffee shop together.
Yeah, or groceries, or...
Or just come sit on my floor while I do homework.
Yeah.
Or go to the cafeteria and eat some subpar cafeteria food together.
Yes, and whine about how terrible the cafeteria food is.
Yeah, it's still bad. that.
Yeah, so it was a lot of just, like, inviting each other into the moments of our lives that we were doing and just kind of being there with each other.
Exactly.
And that's proven true, I would feel, I would say, in a lot of my friendships. It's just been, like, inviting people into the warp and woof of life.
Yes, absolutely. Because that way it doesn't feel like, oh, we have to really spend this time bonding and doing something very, you know,
that's serious and emotional.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those things will flow naturally out of just spending time together and getting to know what it's like to live life alongside another person.
Yeah, and I talked about this, actually, this is another random thing. Elena kind of has her own chapter in the book that I wrote.
But I may have cried when I read it.
Oh, it was so fun to write it, and it was a really precious thing. But I talk a lot about this in that chapter, about how I think a lot of times friendships start being about something other than the friendship. Mm-hmm. Like, doing life together, figuring things out, studying. Mm-hmm. And then as you have that kind of developed, that it creates a fertile ground for real close friendship to develop.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, we should probably go on to the next question, or else we'll be talking for 3 hours.
We could just talk about this all day long. So the second question that we'll deal with here is, what are the small things that we did for each other to build a lasting friendship? I really love this question because I love that it frames doing things for each other rather than just, you know, spending time or doing things with each other. What did we actually do to help each other or encourage each other? I think it you know, depends on where we were in our lives. I think when we both lived on our undergraduate campus together, we would do little things for each other, like, occasionally, we would do each other's laundry for each other.
I remember one time coming back to my... So the first year, we weren't roommates. And then the second year, we were. I was so stressed out. I was an RA, and I was on the debate team.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
And you folded my laundry, and then you bought me a box of Cheez-Its, which is, like, the symbol of our love. And you, like...
That's so true.
You, like, left a little note with my folded laundry in a box of Cheez-Its, and I just felt very cared for.
Oh, and I think that's such a... I love that as sort of a defining little symbol of our friendship, the Cheez-Its, the little tweeting to each other, because I think we both did that for each other in so many ways, whether it was you would buy me flowers and leave them on my desk, or we would make lunch for each other if the other person was busy, or, you know, or just bring me a cup of tea. I remember the first week we were at Biola, we barely knew each other because it was the first week of being there, but I wasn't feeling well, and so you brought me into your room, and you made me a cup of tea, and you had me lie down on your floor and fed me some chocolate almonds.
I mean, that's not very forceful. Like, lay down on my floor and give me almonds.
It wasn't quite that forceful, but it was, I don't actually know if chocolate almonds, it only made me feel better, so I feel like it was okay. But just doing little things like that for each other. Yeah. And then as we've, you know, now are busy with school and life and work and all of these things, and we live in different places, we just, you know, I think we send each other encouraging notes when we know the other
we,
is busy.
Oh, something we do is we both read each other's work.
Yes, so, we do.
I mean, we could talk more about this a little bit, but, like, obviously I'm writing PhD stuff, and Elena does a lot with
screenwriting
and film, and so we will, like, send each other stuff, and I'm chronically bad at proofreading, and Elena is very kind. And it's funny, because we're, like, in totally different realms, but it's fun to, that kind of, like, we invite each other into that. And I would say another thing, two things I would say are, like, good examples that you do.
Oh.
One thing is, I think we both celebrated each other.
Yes,
so
definitely.
Whether that was graduating or, like, getting jobs, we just, even if it's a little thing, even if it was Chick-fil-A, it was, like, taking the time to be like, I'm so proud of you. Mm-hmm. And then I will say that you're really good at, like, I sometimes forget that I have a body, and that,
I
like,
know you do.
And that I have to sleep sometimes, and so, like, last year when I was really stressed out in my PhD, you sent me a little care package, and it had three facial masks, a thing of gummy worms, sour gummy worms, and then the Jane Eyre text.
Yes.
And,
I just felt that you needed all three in your life.
Yeah, and it was, like,
comfort you.
For my humor, for my heart. By the heart, I mean the gummy worms.
Yes, well,
and then, you know, for my body, the mask. So, yeah, I think just little things like that.
Yeah, and I think those will differ depending on what your friendship looks like.
Yeah.
But I think just paying attention to what your friend needs when they need something is just a really easy way to do little things for each other that mean a lot.
Totally.
All right. Next.
Okay. So the next question is, did we have tension over boys / jealousy?
No.
And we really didn't.
Never. We have vastly different types.
Yeah, we have never liked the same person.
Never.
I feel like
literally never.
Yeah.
I don't even think we think the same celebrities are cute.
No, I don't think so. I actually feel like we've had conversations where we've been like, show me a celebrity you think is cute. And I'm like, really?
And then you'll do the same and I'll be like,
really?
So all that to say, no.
Yeah. But I wanted to add to this, like, if that is a dynamic in your mm-hmm. friendships,
there's always the thing where, like, when you're young and you like boy, and then there's, like, you know, there's that.
Sure. We were talking about this, and we were saying that if you are, like, under the age of 21, I want you to know that whoever you like is probably not going to be the person you marry,
mm-hmm.
so don't ruin friendships over it.
Yeah, it's far likelier that that friend will be in your life longer than that boy will, so I would, if you find yourself in a situation where you think you might be, you know, jealous over a friend's romantic life, just kind of take a moment to think about your priorities,
yeah.
because I think, you know, prioritizing that friendship is,
yeah.
that's going to last longer than a boy.
And then the other thing I would say is, looking back, I don't think I could have identified it at that point,
mm-hmm.
but in high school, I had several friends who, I was kind of oblivious, actually,
mm-hmm.
about, I never knew when boys liked me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, I really, they would, like, if we'd be in public, they would make fun of me and be like, she's so clumsy and, like,
mm-hmm.
like, airbrained. And I was always kind of, like, a little bit hurt by it and confused
mm-hmm.
by why they did that in public, but they were nice to me in private.
I feel so retroactively upset by this
I know.
For you.
And I think, I realized that I think it was because I was, like, another girl in the thing and there were boys
mm-hmm.
and so I was a threat.
Yeah.
And it may not have been personal, it was just kind of like girls
sure.
in general are a threat. But I would say, if you're doing that to people, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think usually that comes out of insecurity. So,
yeah.
like, I feel like jealousy and all those things always come out of our own
yeah.
longings and desires.
Yeah.
And be gentle with yourself.
That's certainly understandable.
Yeah.
And do be gentle with yourself.
But
and
also
think,
don't do that.
Yeah. Don't be gentle and be gentle to others.
And build everybody up. Always.
Yes.
That's
mm-hmm.
a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, if you're a girl and you're having that in your friend group, like, you can love them and bless them, but you don't have to be their best friends if they always tear you down in front of people. Because of boys.
Yeah.
Don't
mm-hmm.
do that. That's
yeah.
silly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyway.
All right.
Okay. So, no, we never had tempers, never boys.
Nope. All right. Now, another kind of conflict-oriented question. Was there ever
conflict between
us
or
how did we handle it?
Also, we got kind of a weird amount
of questions asking
about this.
If we fight.
And, well, the thing is, like, it's fun to talk about our friendship, but
oh,
I also like... You know, part of my life, I like to kind of keep my life.
Yeah.
But I would say, in general principle,
mm-hmm.
We don't really have that much conflict.
We really don't.
But when we have had conflict,
mm-hmm.
I feel like we've kind of had, there's like three principles to me that have like
yeah.
kept us close. One is that we just try to be honest.
Yes.
And say whatever is bothering us and not
yes.
let it grow into
mm-hmm.
a resentment. Because I think that when it does grow into resentment, then it becomes this kind of...
Yes.
wounding, painful things.
I think whenever anything's been wrong, we've addressed it very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's been very helpful.
And then the second thing is to be really quick to apologize.
Yes, absolutely.
There was a particular period in my life when I was really stressed out, and I was like, wow, there's so many people I'm mad at, and then I made like three people cry in my life, and I was like, wait, maybe I'm the problem. anyway, and so it's really good to just be quick to apologize.
If I can say something on that really quickly,
yeah.
actually, one of the things that has really, really helped me in my relationships
mm-hmm.
is to realize that whenever I feel like someone is hurting me, to think that, you know, they're probably not intending to. I
yes.
want to do my best to give people the benefit of the doubt, to assume the best of them. And of course, that doesn't apply to every situation.
Yeah.
You don't want to let people walk all over you. But for me personally, I have found a lot of value in taking a moment to say, you know
yeah.
what? This person loves me and I love them.
And they're if they are hurting me, they're probably not, like,
exactly.
deviously and maliciously
exactly.
planning to.
Yes, and that's been very helpful.
And I think that helps, too, when you're, like, bringing up an issue. Because
yeah. mm-hmm.
if you have that in mind, then you're more likely to bring it up, like, hey, when you did this, I know you probably didn't mean to, but it kind of made me feel this way.
Right.
That's a lot less, like... conflict-oriated, wounding,
right.
than being like, you did this on purpose.
Right, because then you're inviting the person in.
Yeah.
You're basically giving them a way to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I had no idea I was doing that,
yeah.
I didn't mean to.
You're making it easy for them
that.
To not
exactly.
feel terribly embarrassed. And,
yeah, because no one likes conflict. It's yeah. no fun.
And then I would say the third thing is mm-hmm. that we just always anticipated that our friendship would continue.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was never like, is this conflict going to end our friendship?
I have never once in my life, I think, doubted no. that our friendship would last and go on and be as it always was.
Yeah, and so I would say that's a good thing, too. Mm-hmm. One thing I would say, I'm like, hedging all the bets for the unhealthy friendships we might have.
Yes, I think that's very smart.
If you, and this is more rare, but if you continually find yourself, like, trying to have healthy conflict with someone mm-hmm. and then ending up feeling like you're bad and dumb and like it's always your fault, that's probably a sign that something is not healthy in that friendship.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Completely agree.
Yeah. So if you're trying to be humble and kind and trying to assume the best and then you're like, why do I feel like a terrible person? Mm-hmm. You're probably not.
No. It's probably just a bad friendship.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Next, I think let's talk about these two questions that go very well together. Now, yeah. someone asked what was a big obstacle that we faced in our mm-hmm. friendship and how we were able to overcome it. And someone mm-hmm. else asked, how are we able to keep so close when we live far away? And I think the biggest obstacle we have faced is just that there's been a lot of distance, physical distance between us, because we are in different places for school, mm-hmm. for work.
And like you said, we have been apart, mm-hmm. like lived in different places longer than we have lived in the same place yes. in our friendship.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that we have done to stay close is we have a regular rhythm of talking. Mm-hmm. So this might not look the same for every friendship. In fact, it certainly won't look the same for every friendship. But what we do is we sort of have a running stream of consciousness text chain yes. that we usually text each other every day throughout the day, just periodic little updates. And we mm-hmm. also, I know this is like a really small thing, but we have our messages on our computer. So mm-hmm. instead of actually texting on our phones, we can just sort of type something out really quickly while we're working on other yes. things.
And that's actually a really big deal. Having messages on your computer instead of mm-hmm. on your phone. I am so demotivated to text when it's on my phone. And right now mine isn't connected to my computer and mm-hmm. I have just... You can attest to this, just not been answering texts. So, yeah, that's mm-hmm. helpful.
So we do that, and then we also, we don't have this scheduled in the sense that we, like, yeah. pencil it into our calendars. Mm-hmm. But we have a general rhythm of, you know, once every 2 weeks or so, we're going to FaceTime each other.
Yeah.
And usually for at least an hour, and we'll yeah. talk. And it's more of a, we just kind of get to the point where we're like, there's only so much we can communicate over text. There's yeah. something exciting that's come up. There's something we need to talk about. Or yeah. it's just, we want to hear more about yeah. what's going on. And that just tends to be the sort of rhythm that we've fallen into.
And yes. I think we also make it a point to see each other.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, this trip right now, mm-hmm. We haven't seen each other for a year. But last trip was, like, we kind of just, like, make a commitment to see each other when we can.
Right.
And we make that a priority. Mm-hmm. And it's a priority when you think about it. It's time. It's money. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we make that a priority.
We do, yeah. And it's really important, and I think it's one of the things that's really helped our friendship continue to stay close is that we always have, you know, we're going to see each other at this point, and we always, I think, generally have at least an idea of what the next time is when we'll yes. see each other, even if it's not a specific penciled in date. It's yeah. really, you know, I'll see you over the summer or something yeah. like that.
And something else that reminds me of is I feel like to have a really close friendship like mm-hmm. ours, you have to recognize that not every friendship will be that close.
Absolutely.
Because I don't have the time and resource and money to put this much time into every friendship.
It's exactly, yeah. So yeah. other friendships might look like, you know, maybe a once-a-month phone call
yeah.
to check in with someone or something like that.
But yeah.
as long as there's some sort of rhythm that you yeah. can agree to and stick with.
And again, it's that expectation of continuance yes. that mm-hmm. we're just, like, I'm never like, oh, Elena hasn't texted me in a week. I guess we're not friends anymore.
Right. There are some periods where we both are
busy.
Crazily
yeah.
busy. Like, I think there was a point where I was working on finals last year and you had a chapter of your PhD due, and I think yep. there was a week where we just were, you know, no communications.
Yeah.
We were so busy.
Yeah.
I think there was an occasional, like, hope you're okay text to be like, keep yes. going, you can do it.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, it's just
yeah.
about knowing the other person really well and knowing
exactly.
that friendship's going to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
next, I think the last question that will be specifically about our friendship here is how did we grow and how do we continue to grow in our faith as friends?
And that's been really interesting because
yeah.
it's a big difference from when you begin college to when you grow into your adulthood.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we have walked through periods of, like, doubt together.
Mm-hmm.
We've been through many kind of stages in the growth of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would say the main thing is just kind of, like, being there and checking in with each other and kind
right.
of being like, where are you at? And
mm-hmm.
creating space for wherever we are. Also,
right.
one of my happiest memories was when we were at Biola, we went to
yeah.
church together,
oh,
and it was
goodness.
So
that was so
special.
Fun. We would always go to this little donut shop that we loved beforehand.
I felt kind of bad because we started that tradition during Lent. But I was like, I'm fasting social media, not donuts.
Exactly. I think it was fine.
Yeah.
And we just, it was just our little routine and tradition. Yeah. And I think, I mean, we can't really attend the same church anymore since that would require thousands of miles of travel.
Yes.
But we do, you know, we check in. We're always talking about how we're doing and how we're doing spiritually. And I think it's just kind of one of the organic rhythms of our friendship to keep, you know, just talking about that. Not all the time.
Not like our friendship, we don't like call each other to pray. However, we do pray for each other a lot.
We do pray for each other a lot, and we do pray together occasionally when we're together. But yeah, that's just what we do.
Yeah, it's just a part of our life, and I'm interested in everything in your life. So
same vice versa.
Yeah, and like last year, if we like have a thing that we're thinking about, I'll be like, well, I want you to tell me about what that is in your faith, or like what you're thinking about decisions wise with that.
Yeah, and I mean the other thing is we both study very different areas of theology and religion, but there's still things we talk about all of the time.
Yeah,
and so I learn lots from you, and we get to talk about all these different things. It's great.
We talk about it because it's on our brain and on our heart.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. I think those are the main questions about our friendship. Shall we move on to talking about relationships more generally?
Let's do.
Ugh, hooray.
Okay. Well, where is our first one? Okay, the first question, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this because there were numerous questions kind of ish around this, but was basically about, do you have any advice for meeting new people at a new town? And I feel like this is something that is very applicable to both of us because we both moved back and forth from places numerous times. I was counting, I actually don't remember what I counted to because it was like I lost track.
It was so many.
But like between when I graduated high school and now, I have moved so many times. I moved to LA, moved to Oxford, moved back to LA, moved back to Colorado, moved back to St. Andrews, and then
Back to Oxford,
and then probably back to St. Andrews.
Yeah.
So I have been, as my mom would call it, the new kid on the block numerous times. And I, if you're feeling this way, person who's listening, I understand the weariness of like, new place, new town, new friends. But what would you say, Elena? I have ideas, but you tell me first.
Yeah, well, I think one of the best things that you can do is to think about what your own interests are, because chances are you will enjoy being around people who have similar interests.
And so, this goes back to like how I said earlier that we made friends because it wasn't like, be my best friend. It's like, we made friends around things.
Right.
Whether that was debate, like figuring out life as an adult.
Right.
And then that kind of took pressure off.
Making mac and cheese in a coffee pot in our basement.
Yes. That's what you do if you don't have a pot.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry, keep talking.
Yeah, so finding ways that you can be involved with things that you're interested in. So maybe you can find friends at your workplace. If you're at school, perhaps there are clubs that you can join. Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, just maybe you're not a student right now, one of the things that I think is great is volunteering different places, even just for a little bit. Maybe you can volunteer once or twice a month. There's a great website called volunteermatch.org that will pair you up with hundreds of organizations near you that are looking for volunteers. And I think pursuing those sorts of things that you might be interested in will help bring you around like-minded people. So I think, and there's also things like, you know, meetups at coffee shops or libraries or classes that are offered through community centers. Anything that you can do that brings you into contact with people who might have a similar interest. And again, that doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily, you know, spot someone across the room and they'll be your best friend immediately. But it's a good way to get yourself involved with and talking to other people and start to kind of build up a little community for yourself.
And honestly, the places that I have made friends usually when I go to new places are places where I'm like compelled to be with people because of the activity we're doing together. So like when I moved to St. Andrews, the places I made friends were church because I was there. I joined the choir, but briefly because my sight reading is terrible. But a choir, hypothetically, is a great place to make friends.
Yes, because
you do something regularly together. You have a shared experience, a shared interest, but then even just like where I lived, because you see people all the time. So I would say put yourself, rather than just like pursuing individual people, put yourself in places where you are likely to bump into people who have similar interests to you.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay. Okay. And then, okay, so this connects to another question, which I'm paraphrasing greatly, but someone talked about kind of when you end up talking to people in those spaces, maybe you are doing things that are similar. You kind of have shallow interactions, and so you said you had kind of very, I think she said shallow kind of mommy friends.
Sure.
Churchy friends, and that it was hard to kind of go deeper, and there's kind of a surface level, and then that this can also be exacerbated when you are introverted.
Right.
And so you're just, like, very wearied by social interaction, and so it's hard to, like, make yourself keep on going out to make friends because it's doubly tired. So, Elena, thoughts?
Well, I do feel as an introvert that I can speak to this. I think one of the things that can be hard is, you know, making that sort of small talk, which I don't know too many people who enjoy just that sort of really surfacey interaction all the time. And I would say to you, listener, if you are feeling that you are wearied of these sort of shallow interactions, then there is probably someone in your circle who feels that way as well. And I might take the time to just ask, pull someone aside casually and, you know, ask them if maybe they've noticed this too. And if they say, nope, couldn't be happier, then you know what
else?
Just wish them well and they will be on their way. But you can always keep asking people.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes as introverts, it's, at least for me, there's, you know, been a tendency before to say like, oh, my little introvert self, I can't possibly make friends and I have to find another like-minded introvert. But actually, literally all of my closest people in my life are all extroverts. I do not have any close introverted friends, I don't think. Really, the people who are truly very closest to me are very extroverted. And I think because extroverts and introverts can make really great friends because one can draw the other out and the other can maybe draw the extrovert in a little bit into a more interior world. Yeah.
I think I would say too, I had this great example to me, my friend Kristen, when I first moved back to St. Andrews and all my friends had gone from the first year. And I went to this Bible study and I was kind of like, well, I don't know anybody. And this was, it was just kind of a hard experience for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember her coming up to me afterwards and she was like, you know what's dumb? And I was like, what? She was like, everybody's coming here either because they want to study the Bible or because they are lonely and they want to make friends, but we're not really doing either of those things.
Mm.
And actually, it's a great Bible study and they're all sweet. But that was how I have often felt in places like that. And so she was like, are you lonely? She was like, because I'm super lonely and I'm not adjusting well. Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't really say that, but it was like, kind of vaguely, she just kind of was vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that all it took was her saying that. And I was like, yeah, I am that. She was like, would you be willing to like have just like a friend meeting every week where we got together and talked about what was happening in our life and had food?
I love that.
And because she was just vulnerable enough to like say it, put it out there, it created that space. So I would say that probably if you are feeling like friendships are shallow and you're kind of lonely, probably other people are too. Recent poll said 47% of people said that they felt like they were alone or lonely.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that they're not having people they're interacting with. That means they're feeling like unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And so be the first person. Be willing to go first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the second thing I'd say, and you can tell me if this is wrong or right, Elena, as an introvert. similar to Elena, most of my closest friends, I'm trying to think, almost all my closest friends are introverts.
I think this is so funny. I don't think we've ever actually, like, put this in words before. This is so funny.
Yeah, and I think that the preconception would be that, like, I, as the extrovert, initiated to you all, and you know, my great extroversion. But that's not true. Like, you and then my friend Jenna were both the people who reached out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you reached out to me in, like, a distinctly introverted way.
Yeah.
Since it, like,
I mean, I sent you a Facebook message, which is a very low
safe,
stakes.
Yeah, low stakes. To know. Yeah. But, like, Jenna would always invite me. She would bake something, and she lived across the street from me, and she'd come and stand in front of my window and be like, Joy! And she'd chat at my window, which is hysterical. And then she would, like, invite me in, and her space was, like, her safe space where she felt in control.
Right.
Where she didn't feel overstimulated by tons of people. And so I would say, like, if you're an introvert, don't buy the narrative that you're, like, that you can't initiate things, because most of the introverts in my life are awesome at initiating things, and a lot of times they do it by, like, inviting me into their world.
Yeah.
And I feel very honored when I'm there.
Oh, my goodness, we feel honored to have you.
Have the extrovert kind of, like, you know, bowl the china shop. Wow, this is great! I like your interior world! anyway... so I hope that's helpful. Okay, what's number three?
Number three. Oh, this is a good question about relating to people with differences. So there's a couple of parts to this question, I think, which first is, how can we be friends with people who come from different religious backgrounds than we do? And I think, Joy, you can speak really well to this.
Yeah, so on the one hand, it's like I almost don't even know how to talk about it exactly, just because it has been a reality in my life, particularly when I was at St. Andrews. I had several really dear friends, and we were a mishmash of Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, atheist, kind of agnostic. And I think it's different for every friendship, because for us, we were all, like, very, all the things that we were, like, I'm very Christian, and, like, one of them was very atheist and very Jewish, and we loved just to talk about it, because it wasn't, I would say none of us like, all of us would have been probably pleased if someone came to our side. But none of us were trying to proselytize each other.
Right.
We were just, we just wanted to share, and we had this, like, shared desire to, like, figure out what we thought was true about certain things, and how was a good way to act in the world. And so we loved talking about our different perspectives, and it actually brought us really close together, because I think those things are very fundamental to who we are. But I would say that the best thing is just to approach people with good intentions, to, like, not assume that just because someone is not a Christian that they don't want to live a good life.
Right.
That they don't desire goodness and beauty, and that they aren't moved by, like, and treat people like people.
And that they haven't given a significant amount of thought to their position, because I feel most of the time people do have a pretty good idea of why they believe what they believe.
Yes, and knowing that as you get closer with someone, it makes sense that you will share more about your faith, because that's, like, for me, that's a very integral, that is the integral part of who I am.
Right.
But I'm not sharing that in a kind of, like, how shall I communicate the gospel to them? It's more like, how can I share with them about this reality that's very close to me?
Right.
And I think that's a difference. I think a lot of times we feel this kind of almost awkwardness, like someone's peering over our shoulder going, have you shared the four laws with this person yet? And, like, no. It just, be who you are, and take a genuine interest in why people believe what they believe.
Yeah.
And I think that doesn't come with, like, I actually did change my mind about some things. So being willing to, like, discuss and whatever, but it didn't change my faith.
Right.
But it was just, like, an openness and a genuine interest in where people come from and what they're like, and allowing interest to that. I do think that in some relationships, people are not, like, don't want to talk about their differences, and that's
fine too. Yeah, that's fine too. Kind of relationship, and you can lay down a.
I was just kind of crazy, like, let's talk about everything.
right.
But not everyone's like that.
Yeah, and I think
in which case, just be nice, be a person.
Yeah, you don't have to talk about everything all the time. It's okay not to. And I think on that, actually, people asked a kind of similar question about, you know, being friends with someone who might have a vastly different political viewpoint than you. And I think in that case, it might be helpful. My advice would maybe be if you find yourself going in circles with your friend and maybe you have the same kind of arguments in which no one is going to repeat the other, maybe have an honest conversation about that and say, you know what, maybe it's not the most productive thing for us to continually argue about this thing. Maybe let's decide that that's not going to be a big part of what we talk about in our friendship. Maybe we talk about dogs.
Maybe that's it. There's nothing else to talk about. Politics and dogs.
Those are the two things.
Pretty much what we talk about.
That's true.
No, I think that another thing is, and this applies also to people of different faiths, always approach people charitably.
Yeah.
Assume, I think it's really easy, especially in our social media world, to like assume that people came into whatever positions they came to by the, like, worst path possible. That, like, they are, you know, if they believe differently than you, it's because they have whatever. And they might, but they also might not. And so I think if you could just approach people open and ready to interpret them positively. But then if you end up in circling conversations, I would say, like, I have friends who are, we just, like, acknowledge that we probably will never come to an agreement on political things. But I also watch them, and I see that they have great integrity in their life.
Right.
And so we can love each other and disagree and enjoy the parts of each other that are not that.
And I would say also that I very much agree, but I do think that if there comes a point where there's a person in your life who's exhibiting, you know, really openly, I don't know, terrible behavior that stems from their beliefs that you can't, you know, condone.
And you feel like their behavior is wrong.
Their behavior is wrong as a direct result of their, you know, whatever it is belief, that they espouse. Yeah. It's okay to say, you know what, maybe this is not a friendship that I need to stay invested in, and maybe this isn't someone who's going to be good to have in my life.
Yeah, and that's an okay thing to recognize. Yeah. And that's why, like, the person who I have in mind who's very different from me politically, the reason I can say I feel good being in a relationship with them is because I recognize that they really do have integrity in their life. But if I feel like somebody doesn't have integrity in their life, it doesn't really matter if what political... I feel like someone's a harmful, damaging person,
then you shouldn't be friends with them.
So I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, and also, I think on this topic, before we, you know, kind of move over to the next question, is we got some, you know, questions about what can people of different religious faiths, like Christians and non-Christians, date each other. And that's a tricky one.
Personally, this is what I would say. For me, and I thought about this and had cause to think about it in my life. Fundamental to who I am is a belief in God, and of course I go through doubts and questions, but at the heart of it all is this kind of drama of my spiritual life. And that's fundamental to who I am. It's fundamental to how I make decisions. It's fundamental to how I decide what's right and wrong about certain things. And so while I can enjoy so many things and love many things about somebody of a different faith, I think it would be very difficult it would be ultimately very lonely, I think, because there would be this part of myself that I could never share with someone.
I think people sometimes think that they can date a person of a different faith to evangelize them. Don't do that.
Do not do that.
It's a bad idea all the time. It's never good. It does not work. 100% no.
Yeah, no. It really doesn't work. No. Do not do that.
You really can't change the people who you start. You just can't make people change.
Yeah.
So don't.
Yes, and I think that it's unfair to someone because then you're not really loving them for where they are.
No.
You're kind of constantly hoping they'll change.
Yeah, and that's not a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and, you know, people kind of speak of it like, they can have weird connotations, but when the Bible talks about being equally yoked, part of what it means is like an equal strength, an equal place in life, an equal, and so you don't want to be trying to kind of yank somebody along, whether that's in faith or like being emotionally healthy or like being together as an adult. You want somebody who's with you, who's like pursuing the same things and there. So do that.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Thanks.
Just complimenting us on our good advice giving skills.
Good advice, Helena. Okay.
On that note, actually, let's talk about a question that I thought was really interesting about what it means to give advice to others.
Yes. And somebody said that they're... She said her...
So this particular writer who, this, you know, listener who wrote in said that her job is to give advice, which we're deeply curious. How do
what
we get
that?
This job? What is it? Can we apply?
But seriously, is it like counseling?
Is it... Do you write an advice column? You do.
Like, I would say teaching.
Please tweet at us and tell us what you do, because we're dying to know.
Yeah. And then you said, I almost feel like reading the question verbatim, because
I think so too.
Feel like
very,
that might help.
It was a thoughtful question.
Oh, look,
and
we have more questions.
Oh my goodness, we're going to have to just, you know,
we may not be able to answer it. Okay, so
what
advice do you have for a fellow opinionated female? Giving advice is quite literally my job, so sometimes it's a bit hard to turn it off. When have you found... are the appropriate times to close your mouth and be a listening ear instead? And do you ever find that others don't take kindly to your being opinionated? Signed, big mouthful opinions.
Oh, I have such compassion and heart for this letter writer.
Yes.
And I would say, dear writer, I would challenge you to take a month and not give anyone advice at all. Purely listen. Do nothing else. And when you feel as if you want to give someone advice, write that thought down and think, why would I want to give them this advice? Mm-hmm. Is it because I truly think I can better their life? Is it because I am deeply caring about them as a person? Or perhaps is it because I want to give advice purely because I think it's fun for me to give advice? Which is, I think, sometimes a trap we can often, fall into.
Yeah. Well, and, like, obviously Elena and I are both not anti-advice giving.
No, we're
here we are doing that.
So this is a deeply ironic question.
And I will say that I am, like, very opinionated. And I was telling Elena that my, something I've had to
learn... Are you deeply opinionated, George?
I am. But never suspect. I told Elena that it's funny because some people kind of, like, have gut reactions. And I have, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, my gut reactions come with, like, fully formed defenses for why they're correct.
You little debater.
And so sometimes that can come out with me just being like, well, that's wrong. And I've had to learn to temper it because I realize that sometimes, and I'm not saying this is necessarily true for you, but if I really investigated my heart and I were like, what would be the best for this person? How, like, what would be the most likely to help them do the right thing? Usually my advice does not fall under either of those categories.
Mine neither.
It usually falls under, like, I obviously know it's right, and they're obviously doing the wrong thing.
This is kind of a running joke between us that we just obviously know what the right thing is to do.
Like, why doesn't everyone just do what I want them to?
This is basically what we are trying to accomplish in this podcast, though, it must be said.
No, but, and I've realized oftentimes it's more out of my desire to kind of, like, be like, well, I know it's right.
Yeah.
And I think realistically that people won't do the right thing until they have owned it for themselves.
Yeah, people very rarely follow advice if it's not solicited.
So I would say, I think that helping people discover what they usually kind of already know intuitively to be true, helping them kind of uncover that is better than actually just being like, we'll do this thing.
Right, absolutely. And I think this writer also asked, I think you used the phrase, you know, when should I just be a listening ear?
Most of the time.
Yeah, basically always. Just listen to people. And I would say generally give advice when people explicitly ask you to advise them.
Yesterday, I said to Alina, I need you to help me decide what to do with my life.
Yeah,
and she did a great job.
Thank you. And I gave specific ideas and suggestions. But because you asked, I wouldn't just volunteer here, Joyce, what I think you ought to... actually, maybe I would. I don't know. But that's just because we're, you know.
But also, when you said, do you ever find that people don't like that you're opinionated? I think that also could be a slightly different question. Because sometimes I think people just don't like it when women, like, have opinions.
Yeah, that's not great.
But that's
great.
A different question.
That's a different question. And that's not great. And we
do not condone that.
No.
However, what I will say is that I find that when I let people ask for my opinion and I give it to them, it's so much more appreciated than when I just give it.
Absolutely. Yeah, people don't love being told what to do, shockingly.
But when it's kind of like a scarcity principle. If you rarely give advice and then when you give it, it's like, hot dang, that's great advice.
I'm not going to say that to you every time you give me advice. Hot dang, Joy.
then it will be more appreciated.
Yeah.
But I also... I mean, I don't know if this is helping you at all, but also I want you to know that I do have great, great sympathy because I'm an extrovert and I have fully formed opinions on most things.
And I'm an introvert who loves to talk, so...
And sometimes I go home and I'm like, Mom, you would not believe how many things I did not say today.
We occasionally will text each other things we did not say to people but wish we
or
had.
Or things we did not tweet.
Yep.
Yes,
there's frequently. A whole drafts folder in our tweets, in our texts to each other, things we did not tweet.
Yes.
All right, I think we've really advised that question. Let's talk about this one now, which I think is really interesting.
And it's sort of related.
Yeah.
It was from a mom who said she has a 9-year-old daughter who is at a boundary-pushing stage, like, I was about to say like her husband, but I don't think your husband, I don't think your husband's at a boundary-pushing stage. I think you said their personalities are similar.
Yes.
And you were kind of asking, what does it look like to lay a foundation of friendship? What does it look like to kind of help shepherd her, what sounds like a strong personality?
Yes.
And you had something...
I think I would say that, you know, we don't know what it's like to be parents, because we are not parents, but we both know what it's like to be 9-year-old girls.
And with strong feelings.
Yes, with very strong feelings, strong emotions, and sometimes the tendency to push a little bit of boundaries. So I think we can speak, perhaps, from the perspective of that 9-year-old.
Yeah. And I think what I would say is that it's a really good thing that your 9-year-old is trying to push boundaries because it means that she's becoming her own person and, like, beginning to have opinions. And I know that can feel really frustrating, but I think that's good. And something that was probably the best thing for me was that I always had this deep assurance, no matter how my mom was parenting me, that she liked who I was.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just like, I love you, even though you're difficult to love.
Right.
But that she really liked who I was. And she would use her words to say things that affirmed that. And even when we were kind of working through some character issue or whatever, she would say, I love how strong you are. And God's going to use your strength. And that's such a good thing. And you're learning how to master yourself. And I would say that that should be your goal, is first of all, to just love who she is. And like who she is. And if that's hard for you because she's a different personality, don't make that a her thing. Make that a you thing.
Right. And like, maybe take some time to sit down and think about, you know, what are the traits that maybe are different from me and my daughter? And what can I find to appreciate about them? And what can I specifically verbalize to her about what I appreciate and love and like about those traits of hers?
Yes. And then think about your role as a parent, not as... Not really, I mean, yes, it's giving her boundaries, but not really it's giving her boundaries, but it's giving her the tools to kind of master herself, to grow a strong character. Because you want her, when she is an adult, to not do things because she's afraid of what you would think of her.
Yes.
You want her to do it because she has her own internal kind of sense of who she is and what is right and what is wrong. And that kind of strength really comes from being deeply loved and knowing that even when you do have boundaries, you have to keep that's coming from a place of like, I love who you are, and we're going to help you channel that strength towards good things.
Yes, absolutely. And in that manner, I think finding things that your daughter might be interested in doing, getting to know what her interests are, and finding maybe, I know you said that, you know, you homeschool, so you spend a lot of time together, but maybe there's some sort of homeschooling co-op that she can be a part of. Maybe there's some classes at a community center she could take, or some extracurriculars.
I also have to say that just, like, having an external activity that was mine. And I want you to know, I was, like, I feel like none of my siblings were particularly not strong-willed, but I was particularly strong-willed. and having, like, my own activity that I could master also just took a little bit of the pressure off of the, like, the desire to push all the boundaries in my home.
Sure.
Because if I had my own thing, then I knew I was a person, and then I didn't feel the necessity to, like, define who I was against everyone all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the most important thing is just making sure that your daughter knows that she's loved and that she's liked.
Yeah. And I said this on a tweet this week. But I think that if you lay that foundation of friendship that she's loved and she's liked, then she will want to be friends with you once you're done doing the parenting things.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes parents, and I've seen this with friends, like, parent so much and they don't lay the foundation of friendship. So then once their kids are adults and they can't tell them what to do, there's nothing really there that the kid wants to come back to. So build a friendship, help her channel her strength, but in a way that's really positive.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think on that note, we had another question about, you know, generally forming these kinds of friendships and relationships.
Yes.
Which was about reaching out to people that you find to be very inspiring. We had a listener ask, I don't know, I don't remember, we're paraphrasing this quite a bit, but she said that there were some writers that I think she admired.
And she used the verse about he who walks with the wise will be wise.
Yeah, absolutely, which I think is great. And wanted to know if it might be, you know, odd to reach out to those people, or, you know, what might be the best way to go about that. And I would say, there's absolutely nothing wrong with reaching out at all, as long as your expectations are realistic.
Yeah. I would say, I am famous for writing authors I like and all that stuff. And, I would say do that. Usually it just encourages whoever you reach out to.
Yeah.
But then do it within kind of a realistic space. So, like, if you are, it depends on, this could be so many breadth of things, right? So if there's somebody that you kind of, like, admire in church, but kind of seems like they're out of your league, which they're not out of your
league.
They're
not.
But I would say reach out to them in a low stakes way. So just, like, send them an email or go to the church and say, I really admire you and I like how you live. And would you go out to coffee with me once?
Yeah.
And start by saying once. Don't be like, would you meet with coffee with me every single week?
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life. And you know what? That may happen. But it should start with just, I admire you. You're great. Would you like to have coffee with me?
Once.
Once.
And you know what? If it's a one-time thing, then it's a one-time thing. You leave it at that and you say, I've gained something from this person and I'll carry that with me to my next friendship, whatever that might look like, whatever that might be.
Yeah. And then if it's like a writer or someone, you know, whatever, kind of who seems distant, I think it's always worth it to send a nice note and just to be like, I think being realistic, like, I wish I could read everyone's, like, novels and things like that. I can't feasibly do that and write a PhD. But, like, I've gotten the sweetest letters from people, and it really means a lot to me, and I always try to answer them. And so it's always worth it to reach out and to give kind words.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Do that.
That's a great question. And another question along that note of, you know, continuing to invest in different relationships is, what kinds of friendships ought we to invest in, and when do we know that it's time to let go of a friendship?
Also, we just looked at our thing. We are going so long!
This is going to be a long advice podcast, but you know what? We're having fun.
We're having fun. I might split into two, but who knows? Okay, so what friendships to invest in and let go of? I think, like, on a very basic level, I would just say, invest in the ones that bring you life and help you be wiser and healthier.
Yeah.
And don't with the ones that don't.
Think about your friendships that are reciprocal. If you're always the one who's reaching out, if you never get texts back, if people are always, you know, canceling on your coffee dates, then it's probably time to let go of that friendship. And that doesn't mean you have to say, like, I banish thee from my sight.
You don't need to, like, think upon sign them an agreement.
Again. No, you don't need to, like, shake your feet at them.
You usually do to your enemies.
I meant to say, like, shake the dust off your feet or that verse is. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. No, you could shake the dust off your feet. Just don't shake your feet at them. And I think, too, what I would say is, like, recognize that sometimes there are people who you can pour into, but you don't have to say they're a friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to tell them, I'm pouring into you, but you're not my friend. But you know what I mean? Like, and this is related to the other question, which was about, like, what does healthy friendship look like?
Yes.
In new seasons, particularly. Yes. And I would say part of that just comes with being flexible and
kind of recognizing that times will change, I was thinking about Sarah and how our friendship is slightly different because we have a Lily now in the picture.
Yes.
But it's still really good. So that means we don't have as much time just one-on-one.
Right.
Although we still make coffee dates and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I would say just be flexible. Also, if you need to, like, mourn a changing thing in a season of life.
Of course you should do that, but do it alone.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need to do it
Yeah,
with
you
the
don't
person.
Need to go to a friend and say, like...
Because feel guilty.
I know you would never in a million years would go to, you know, Sarah and say, how dare you have a baby and ruin our time together.
Because... Sarah, if you're listening to this, I'm not love grieving friendship. Just, like, as a hypothetical.
Right, as a complete hypothetical, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just kind of adjust expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
Be open, be flexible, and figure out what works for you in these seasons. Mm-hmm. And I would just continue to kind of take an inventory and go, what friendships in my life are bringing me life and delight, and what ones aren't?
Yeah, think about, you know, the friendships that, you know, bring you real joy and companionship. Yeah. Your friendship brings me joy.
Literally.
Wow, I knew we would not get through without a pun. I think the main difference is just to generally distinguishes if you want to kiss the person or not.
Yeah, I know, because this is the thing. I think that good romantic love will always be based in a friendship.
Oh, yeah,
of course. So really the main difference is, like, would I like to hold this person's hand in a romantic way?
Or would I simply like to shake hands with them and say, you know, good day, friend.
Good day, friend. Yes. So I guess what we're saying is, are you attracted to the person?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, because I think that all romantic love is, like, it is not, like, a growth beyond friendship, but it's just, like, a little addition to friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that. Okay, I'm going to be realistic and say that we should cut off this podcast, and then we'll start.
Oh, my goodness.
And when you listen in next time, we will do...
We will do our two other categories, which
is
all,
like,
about...
the life adulting, how do you make decisions about life and everything questions.
Yes, growing up.
And then lifestyle questions.
So many fun little
So tune in
questions.
Next time for lipstick. Bye, everybody!
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this special Girls Club episode of Speaking with Joy. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please leave a rating and review on iTunes. And don't forget to purchase your copy of Girls Club anywhere books are sold.